Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. Hope you're having a wonderful day. You are listening to or watching the Service Business Mastery Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tersh Blissett, sitting across the table from Joshua Crouch, our co-host. And this podcast is focused on service business owners, managers, and technicians who are considering becoming business owners themselves. Our goal with this and our target with this podcast is to help answer some unasked questions. We are live here at the 2023 Women in HVACR event in Jacksonville, Florida.
I always feel like clapping when you get it right. Like I just
yay. You can't hear it, but they're applauding.
The crowd. Yeah, the crowd wild. Is out there.
Yay. But yes, so we are with Amberly Snyder, and you were just a keynote recently on the stage, and we wanted to snag you and have you come on the show and share your story, and because it's obviously a great story, that's why you're here. And then, yeah, if you don't mind, would you introduce yourself?
Yes, I am excited to get to come and visit with you. I'm Amberly Snyder. I would say if I was to title myself as something, I would be a keynote speaker and professional barrel racer, actor and author on the side of that. And I'm excited to get to come and share my story and my love of horses and where I've been able to go with that.
That's cool. Yeah, we have one of your books here. That's the only book you have?
Yeah. More? Okay. Yep, my kid's book.
That's awesome. I skimmed through it really quickly when Julie brought it up here. I've been up here in my little dungeon trying to upload podcasts and stuff during the free time and sweating, but I got to skim over a little bit, but I didn't get to hear your keynote. Like I was in there for a split second, but then I had to come up here. Could you share?
I mean, could you just redo the whole thing?
There's like, just yeah, from just good the whole thing.
Yeah, like the whole thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
The video, the whole thing.
Yeah. Real quick, just right now.
We'll snap.
But we gotta do it in like 15 minutes.
Just hit the fast forward and I'll just talk fast.
Speed
that
chipmunk two.
Voice. I can get the short version.
Yeah.
So I've loved horses my whole life. I wasn't raised in a horse family. My dad was a Major League Baseball player. My mom was a cheerleader. But when she saw I had an interest in horses, she wanted to make it possible. So at 3 years old, I started riding lessons in California. And when my family decided to move to Utah, when I was seven, I told my dad I would only move if he bought me a Palomino barrel horse when we got there. So thankfully, he listened. And that's what he did. So I started competing in rodeo at seven. Fell in love with it, of course. Did it all through the junior rodeo days up into high school. Won a world title. And then January of 2010 would be when my life very much changed, when I was on my way to Denver, Colorado, was involved in a rollover truck accident, leaving me paralyzed from the waist down, and of course, starting life over with that accident. And now it's been 13 years later. It took me 4 months to get back on a horse, 18 months to get back into the arena to compete. I'm the only paralyzed professional barrel racer in the U.S., so I'm the only one that does what I do, and...
Did you say 4 months?
Like, I was just thinking four months
from the accident?
Yeah, 4 months from the accident to when I very first got back on a horse was four months.
Was that one of the first things that you wanted to, like, I mean,
I would have done it the next day, okay. Right? If I could have done
so
that's
like totally your happy place. That's like your zen.
Yeah, that's the place I like to be, is on the back of a horse. And I even told him in the hospital when we did therapy, you know, my balance is really bad. And I was like, bring in a saddle. My balance will be better on a saddle than anywhere else. So they did let me finally bring one in. And I was right. True? My balance really is better there than everywhere else.
But
it took me 4 months to convince my mother and doctors that I was getting back on a horse. It wasn't even out of my turtle shell yet. So that's like the back brace. I still was in that to get back on for the first time. And and like I shared today in my speech, it was horrible.
Like physically painful horrible?
It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I had convinced myself, and I almost feel a little silly when I tell this story, but I had convinced myself that it would be magic. I would get back on that horse and that wouldn't change. And I mean, I'm a very logical person. I know that, but I had convinced myself like that was going to be it. And so when I got on, obviously it wasn't magic. and my legs still didn't work. And so that crushed me. I think that was like the last straw of my whole life is different. But we were able to evolve through that. And
how did you, I mean, because that's mentally, that's a lot to handle. I had neck surgery several months ago. I remember it took me several months before I could do any, two, 3 months before I could do anything physical. I couldn't imagine that. Like, mentally, how did you cope with that?
Man, I don't know if there's any secret recipe. So
that's a massive amount to overcome. And you're in the world by yourself. Like, especially whenever it's, you're alone and you're quiet and it's like, you can be your own worst enemy. And it's like, oh man, like this is the time when I really need to be the strongest. And how did you handle that?
I have learned how to find the happiness. There was one time I was on bed rest for 5 months after my accident. So it was like, I've gone back on a horse and all these things. And then I get a pressure sore that puts me literally on bed rest for 5 months. And during those 5 months, my mom walked into my room one morning and I told her today is not my day, which really means like, probably come feed me, but that's about it because I'm going to say something I shouldn't say.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mom said, that's okay. Tomorrow's going to be. And I have totally listened to that and really ingrained that into my life because every day doesn't have to be your day. And I've learned that. You know, I have people ask me all the time, how are you so positive? And I can say I am a lot of the time, but I still have bad days like everybody else. You know, days that I want to cry, or I do cry, or I get mad, or I say words you're not supposed to say, or, you know, whatever that is. Like, I mean, I have those days when it's just very frustrating, but I have learned that those days don't have to last. So it's totally up to you on what you're going to do with the next one. And I had to learn that in the hospital, right? Like, I was allowed to have frustrating moments.
Yeah.
When your body all of a sudden doesn't do what it's supposed to do, you're frustrated. And that's a tough place to be. I just learned you can't stay there. You know, there are always good things to be looking for.
That's a great lesson to take into business, because business owners and people that run businesses feel like they're just stuck.
Yeah.
Like they got something to overcome, or they can't pay their bills, or their vendor bills are behind, or whatever it is, and they just can't get over it. And so the next day it leads to more frustration, and they start alienating the people around them, the people that they love and that they should be taken care of. So it's wild to see that from a perspective. We take for granted the fact of the things that we can do on a daily basis, you know, we without being in sort of some sort of accident and stuff like that, and then we still have bad days, and sometimes those bad days doesn't stop at one day. It becomes a week, it becomes longer than that. So it's such a great story to share of resiliency. And I think that was kind of the message today, is the resilience. And literally, we walked outside downstairs when you came out to sign your books, and literally we're like, who is here?
What happened here?
Like, my goodness, the line went all the way down the hallway, back around the corner, all the way back by the elevator.
I'll be 100% honest with you. I thought it was a liquor line. Like, I thought that was like, it was an open bar and everybody was lined
up. People
were
like, yes. No, that's, but, and actually we have someone that works on our team. I'm looking at Brittany because she has two or three horses in Arizona. I don't even know. She had two horses, and she's like gushing. It was just like a huge moment for her. And it was so cool to see, because I'm like, I don't know anything about this, and just hearing the story is really fascinating to me.
Well, so they have
such a personality too, and like they're a big old. I mean, that's a lot of weight. And so I have a question for you. As two of them actually. So I don't forget. First off, what led you to writing the book?
So the book, actually, I wrote because I broke my leg. So that's really what it was. Yeah, I did. I was at a rodeo on my horse Legacy, and we fell at the second barrel, and he broke my femur. So, and I've always told people that I thought I'd be able to feel that, because I've regained where I can feel like my thighs to my knees. And so I've even had little kids who be like, can you feel if you broke your leg? And I'm like, yeah, of course I can, because I can feel the outside. Turns out I can't feel the inside. So I broke my leg in this run, and my horse got up. I got him collected, put it together, and I go out the arena. And even the judge, right? Everyone doesn't know what to do.
Were you there? I mean, you back on the horse?
I mean, I didn't fall off. I'm strapped in.
Oh, okay.
So I literally went down with him. He landed on my leg and broke it. So we stand back up and no one knows what to do, right? Like the girl that's strapped in, her horse just fell on her. And so I asked the judge on the way out, I said, does my leg look straight? And he kind of looks at me like, oh my gosh. And he looks at it and he's like, yeah, I think so. And I'm like, okay, then I'm probably fine. Like probably no big deal.
Is there anybody there with you?
My mom. And what was so crazy is actually one of my little sisters was supposed to go with me. And it was a very big blessing that my mom went, because I get back to the trailer and I get off my horse and my femur had broke and gone out of the skin and came back in. So we couldn't see it, right? But I'm bleeding.
You're bleeding, yeah.
And I'm at an amateur rodeo. So I also breakaway rope. So I was telling my mom, let's just wrap it up. I will go rope my calf and then we'll go to the hospital after. And my mom is like, no, like we're not doing that.
You just had a horse land on your leg.
Yes, like, and she's like, and you're bleeding. And I said, if I can get it to stop bleeding, will you let me? And she said, okay, if you can get it to stop bleeding, you can rope your calf. So I went and found a gal that was like a nurse, and we put a maxi pad on it. We tourniqueted it. We like wrapped that sucker up. It didn't stop bleeding. Went straight through. So my mom is like, no, we're going to the hospital. You don't get to rope your calf. Which then I found out I broke my femur. So it's probably...
That's not an easy bone to break.
Yeah, no. No, and probably not one you should jump back on a horse and try to do something after.
No.
So I ended up actually having to get 2 blood transfusions to replace the blood that I lost because I was losing that much blood. But I thought I was fine. So anyway, when I get home from surgery, I was laying in bed. My mom said, even if you can't feel it, your leg is broken. So you need to act like somebody with a broken leg. So I said, fine, I'll write a book.
Okay.
So that was a really long story to get to that.
Yeah, yeah.
That
is, I like it. So long story, longer.
Is there a reason you decided to do a children's book?
Easier.
Okay.
That's okay. That's an okay answer.
I honestly have started, I've started the real book about my life, and it was started even before I had that. But yeah, I don't know. I think just laying in bed, I was like, what could I accomplish right now? Right? Like by the time I get out of bed with this broken leg, what could I have accomplished? And I'm like, I could have this accomplished. So I had the book written in 2 days, and then I contacted the, oh my gosh.
Illustrator?
Thank you. Yeah. I was like, the person that makes the pictures. The illustrator.
The drawer.
Yeah, the drawer. The drawer, the painter. She actually paints. So I was like, I contacted him and said, hey, I just wrote a children's book. I'm going to shoot it over to you. Tell me what you think. I want to make it into the book. And so we had it made. I mean, it came out that year for Christmas. So it was relatively fast. And yeah, I'm very much like, if I want to do something, I want to do it like now. Yeah, so
I love that.
Obviously, 4 months after
the accident, yeah,
getting back on the horse. That's crazy. So riding a horse, it takes legs also.
How a lot of legs. I mean, that's a lot of what it is.
I mean, it takes a lot of lower body strength. How do you overcome that?
So my horses have had to learn how to listen to just my hands and my voice. So it
gets loud in an arena though.
It does. It actually does. And that is one of the struggles I even had this last season with my horse, that I've never felt like it was a struggle till this year, but I don't know why, but normally, I mean, you can get on my horses and ride them with your legs. So they're broke with their legs. That's what you've done. So you can get on and ride them. I kind of talk it's like my cars, because my cars, I have hand controls in them. You can still drive my cars with your feet. My horses are the same way, but they know with me to ignore my legs, just pay attention to my hands and my voice. One of the struggles has been this last year at the performances that I felt like my horse Legacy couldn't hear me all the time. And so I was having to touch him, like ride him with my hands a little bit more than I wanted to. And we weren't being as consistent, which is crazy because I've run him for 9 years and not had this problem till this year. It was like he shifted and really wanted me to be able to talk to him. So the second half of the season, I started entering in slack is what they called. So at a rodeo, there's going to be a certain number that fit in the performance, and then the rest will be in slack. And so I started entering slack so that he could hear me, because there's not a crowd, there's not the music, there's not any of that. And his runs drastically improved. So I don't know why he decided to do that this year, but we worked around it.
Interesting.
Do you think he's losing hearing?
I don't know. I don't know, because, I mean, he's 15. He is 15, but I've not known a horse to do that. I don't know.
Horse hearing aids.
Well, I've wondered, seriously thought about it. Like, some people actually put earplugs in their horses so they can't hear all the crowd and stuff.
Sure.
So I've never heard the opposite, but. Gosh, my dog is 15. This is crazy. My dog is 15 also, and she did lose her hearing. So I'm like, what is happening to both my dog and my horse? I don't know.
I mean,
natural age process. We're all going to be there at some point.
I know. Huh? I'm like, I don't know what it is, but he really wanted me to be able to talk to him. So next year, that's my plan, is I'm going to try to set him up to succeed.
I like it. I mean, yeah. And you said you have two horses, or?
I have two horses that I ride the most.
Oh, okay. And now, how about the other one? How about the other than Legacy?
So I have Power. So he's the famous one that everybody knows. He is retired. He lives in my mom's house. He's pretty much Uncle Power at this point. So he takes care of the mamas that are going to have the babies.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And he like oversees that whole process, yeah. And he loves it. It's adorable. And then I have my good horse Legacy, and I'm back up to him. Her name's Penny. And then I have two babies.
Now Penny, is she? How does she do? I mean, she knows you ride and your style and everything. She could hear you fine and everything, you know.
Yeah. She's just a bit sassy in general, but yeah, she can hear just fine. That's not her excuse if we have a bad run. But yeah, she's like the backup to him. And yeah, I mean, I used to have more actually, but I felt like nothing was getting the time I needed to get, so I just wanted to eliminate down to the two.
That's a good point. I mean, sometimes we just get so overzealous and like, oh, that's it. I want that. A new shiny object.
What did it take with, so kind of retraining the horses? Because obviously you train them with your legs, and to train them a different way. What did that process look like?
You know, it was a learning process, definitely like up and down and trying to figure out how to communicate with them. Because obviously I've trained horses, you know, growing up till I was 18 years old. And so I had my legs to do that. I had all these tools to do that. And so I had a shift for me. What was so crazy is I went to a clinic in the fall before my accident with a gal that was telling us at this clinic. So my legs obviously still work, right? This is the fall before my accident. She was telling us the importance of being able to communicate with your horse through your hands. Mm. And I told her, well, I don't need to do that. My legs work. And so why would I do that with my horse? And she said, no, I think it's important that you should be able to do both. So I retrained Power in the fall before my accident, literally for myself. Did not know that.
Oh, wow.
But for myself. So when I got back on him after my accident, it was easy. He already knew his job. And I just had to try to apply that to the new horses that I have.
That's so interesting. Because who knows, like, you look at life's paths and things that happen and just how they all string together to make the outcome and things that happen later in life. It's really interesting. Sometimes my wife and I were talking about that this weekend, just different things. One thing led to another to get meet some people, so, you know, things like that, and to see something like that, like who knows what would have happened, because you're the only one, male or female, right?
Yeah
so the only one that rides that doesn't have use for legs.
Yeah,
so there's not like me. There's a blueprint out there for people to do this.
No and there is no how-to guide, nothing of that. I mean, we had to figure out even all my straps to get on my horse and what I used to hold myself in, and yeah, it was all trial and error, right? We'd think we'd have it figured out, and then something else would be a problem. So then I'd have to go through being mad and frustrated, and then okay, well, how are we going to fix it? I mean, it was just that same process. I mean, I'm sure it's related to everybody, right? Like, you have this big goal and this big idea of what you want to do and what you think this picture should look like, and you say, hey, I have the answer. Okay, yeah, you have a bit of the answer. And then you've got to try to figure out the next step until you can finally build the whole picture, and that is a process. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and you didn't give up. Like, you didn't know what else the next hurdle might be, but you still went for it. I like that. I mean, it's...
What was your family's initial reaction when you told them that you wanted to race again?
Oh, at this point, my family is not shocked, right? My family, okay. You know, my family. First of all, I mean, we've been raised with my dad playing baseball. He was a first round draft pick. He went to the Olympics. Okay, you know, he
what
knows
was his first name.
Corey Snyder is my dad's name, and he knew what it took to be the best. So he expected his children to be the same way. Now, my mom was very much the, you know, believe in yourself. So my dad was the, if you got second place, you were first loser. My mom was the, but you're still okay. You know, like, that was the perfect combination between the two. And I can tell you that I'm so thankful for that, because that was how we were raised, right? Perfection was expected. But if you weren't perfect, you were still a value. And I think that my parents really ingrained that into me. So it wasn't a shocker when, after my accident, that's what I wanted to do. Like, I tell people that all the time, that it wasn't like this personality showed up after. It was the personality my parents had ingrained into me. And then it just applied on a bigger scale because sure. here was this huge mountain I now needed to climb. And so when I told them I wanted to get back on, it panicked them. Of course it panicked them.
Sure.
I think it's still, my mom still probably needs a Xanax when I run. Like she yeah. still
especially,
just
I mean,
panics.
And
but...
if you've broken your leg and then,
I know,
and then
I
she's
know.
Like, oh great, here we go again.
Yeah. We throw the Rex in there on top of that. Mm-hmm. And it's stuff like that. Or the picture I shared today during my presentation of my face getting smashed up riding a horse, and my dad was coaching Taiwan at the time, and I sent him that picture. He got kicked out of the game that night. He was like so emotionally frustrated that he was not there with me and my face got broken he said he just had to let his anger out on the ump. And I'm just like, oh my gosh,
you're just
like,
a beacon for punishment.
Just terrible. But they just wanted to support me, and they still do. If I tell them, hey, this is what I want to do, they're like, how can we help you get there?
That's awesome. Those lessons that we learned early on that stick with us. Even we don't know when the lesson's going to rear its head. They stick with us, and eventually it's
to
like,
be
oh,
so open-minded to mm-hmm. that, to be willing to accept it and be okay to overcome like a challenge, because you could have you very well could have sat in the bed and felt sorry for yourself and become uber depressed and never got out of the bed and done anything. But instead, in 4 months, you're on a horse again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, kudos to you for that. I mean,
thank you.
We had the smallest little thing not go our way, and we're like, all right, screw it. I quit. Yeah, whatever.
It can feel like that sometimes.
It does. But huge shout to you for doing that. Whenever you're talking and you're giving these keynotes, what's the biggest message that you want to get across to, say, business owners?
I would say the biggest thing that I like to share with people is it's okay to have a bad day. You know, it's okay to have that, because you get to decide what you're going to do after that. And I think that that's a big part, and that it's worth celebrating along the way. You know, I think that we tell ourselves that if it's not the big goal that receives an award, that maybe we fell short, and it doesn't have to be like that.
You're first loser.
Yeah, well, it's as my dad would have said, right? My dad would have said that.
It's funny, I tell my kids the exact same thing. And they know that I'm not, like, downing them at all. But they know it's the exact same way as Julie and I. I expect them to win everything. I expect my freshman son to be on the varsity football team. He's not. He physically cannot be on the varsity football team. He's too small. But I'm like, all right, well, sucks to suck. And then he's like, he doesn't take it personal. I mean, he knows that I'm joking with him. And then Julie comes right in and she's like, you're the best player on the team. And I'm like, don't lie to the boy, you know. But
you got to find a balance in there.
Yeah, that's a balance.
You got to find, that's what I'm saying, is I had to have such a balance at that. And my dad now is the guy that, he always tells me to believe in myself and it's okay. And sometimes I'm like, who are you? Like,
what did you do, my dad?
Yeah, what did you do? But he's even had to tell me, he's like, I want to remind you that it's okay. You know, if you didn't win, it doesn't mean I'm not proud of you. And I don't know. So with business owners, I think you have to remember that, right? You don't have to be first place to have accomplished something. You don't have to be the highest and most successful to make an impact or to even have a good life and a good business. Are you doing your best? And I think that that plays a role, because let's all get real. We get complacent and you want to go the easy route sometimes, but is that the best? Is that the very best you can give? And if the answer isn't yes to that, then you need to do more. And I think that if you're putting in that effort, you will see results. And I want people to recognize that when they see my speech. And it doesn't have to be just business oriented. It's life oriented, of course. It's both in the aspect of do your best, be your best self. Always recognize there is somebody that's praying for what you have. So humble yourself in that aspect. And if it doesn't go right, try again. And gosh dang, along the whole entire journey, there are good things. So focus on those. It is so much easier to focus on the bad. I mean, gosh dang, you wake up and the weather is bad and you're immediately grumpy.
Yeah, the whole day's bad.
The whole day's bad. Is it though? Because find something else then. You know, I just think that's always your choice. You choose happy. And if you don't choose it, then you won't have it.
That's true. But if you know, if you never get out of bed, then you never know what the weather is. So then
the whole time you were saying that, I was going to look over at Brittany because I knew she was going to be shaking her head, because I can get that way sometimes. And I could tell she was like, you're listening, right? You listen, you're hearing what she's saying.
Yeah.
But it's so true, because especially in social media circles, it can be, well, they grew to 0 to 10 million in a month. That's what it feels like anyways, right? Like, yeah. On social media, it feels like, well, how did...
Yeah, an overnight success that...
An overnight success that actually took, you know, 10 years, but it looked like it was 6 months or a year or whatever it was, but you can get so lost in that.
It can knock the wind out your sails if you're not careful, if you're not...
And you're comparing.
Yeah.
Business owners will compare, you know?
Like, I've been, like, obsessed right now with that Untold series. Have you guys seen that on Netflix? It has the stories behind all these successful people and how it doesn't always go right. And there's a lot of pressure that goes along with that. Yes, you're going to see people who go through such success so fast, but there is things that they sacrifice for that. And so sometimes I don't know if you always recognize that. Like, there is bad days. For me, people ask me, how are you so positive? And I'm like, I get to have bad days. There are days that I am super frustrated, and the people that love me and are closest to me are okay with that, right? They're going to bring me an iced coffee and they're going to tell me I get to watch TV that day, right? Like, they're going to do that because they support that. And yeah, social media is terrible in the aspect of sometimes putting unrealistic expectations. And it's also beneficial because don't look at it like that, right? You look at that person who is able to succeed and say, well, they did it, why can't I? You know, what did they give that I'm not giving? Like I said, be your best.
Yeah, if Josh can do it, I can do it. I mean, you see, Josh, he did it, I can do it. I mean, just saying.
We're going to edit that part out.
No, we're not. We're not. Amber, like, where can we people buy your book?
You can get my book. You can get it on Barnes.
Your church, because you have a lot of cool stuff.
I have lots of stuff. My book, you can find it online on everything, the Amazon, the Barnes & Noble. The merch and posters I run by myself. So you actually have to contact me on my website or my social media in order to get those for me. And then I get them lined out and sent to you.
What's your website?
My website is AmberlySnyder.org.
Wow, that's a difficult one. That's tough.
Yep. Actually, as crazy as it is, people say my name wrong a lot.
I can tell that because you were instantly like L-E-Y, right?
Yep. I have to tell people it's L-E-Y, not L-Y. You can have a movie made after you and people still don't know how to spell your name. So
we didn't even touch on that. There's a movie also.
Yes.
Tell us about that, dude.
Yeah, so the movie's Walk Ride Rodeo. It obviously got named after my book. It had a different name prior to my book because it had actually been, the script had been written with a different production company. I'm going to make this story short. Fast forward, there is a movie called Walk Ride Rodeo that Netflix made a couple years ago about my story. And it's pretty neat, actually. You can still find it on there. And, of course, there are things that I wish could have been different or better. They had to Hollywood up some things. But the message is right. And it's changed a lot of people's lives. So I'm thankful for that part.
That's cool.
Well, I have a super important question because everyone wants to know, like, well, who played you in that?
Spencer Locke is the girl that played me. And what was so crazy is they sent me five girls that they had communicated with to playing me or a tryout or I don't know, whatever they had done. And I eliminated two. I said, I'm fine with any of these three. That's what I sent back to them. So then they tell me, this is who we hired. Her name is Spencer Locke. I said, awesome. What's her horse experience? They said, none. I'm like, why was I not told that beforehand? But gosh, she did. She was meant for the job.
Really?
Because, well, she wanted to spend the time making sure that the emotions were right. And it's the emotions that I felt and the emotions that I didn't show. We went through every single scene went through how I felt in those and what she could do. You know, they have her cry a lot more than what I really cried in real life. And so I told
her. That's what I'd say too.
Well, hey, it is. more tears. And I just told her, that's okay if you have to cry for the movie. I'm like, but make sure you cry out of anger, not sadness. Because if I would cry, it would usually be frustration.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
And so that's a different emotion, right? Like, even definitely, to see that on a screen, you can tell if you're crying because you're frustrated or you're crying because you're broken. And I wanted her to make sure she could portray that. So she did a really great job. So Spencer Locke, who played.
That's awesome.
So a friend of ours was downstairs and she was like, have you seen the movie? Have you seen her movie? And I was like, no, I didn't know she had a movie. She's like, oh, you should watch it. It's going to make you cry. I was like, okay, I'm going to go upstairs right now and watch it. Like, that's exactly what I need. I need a good cry.
That's what Tersh was doing here when I walked in.
Yeah, I was bawling.
He was tearing up a little bit. He was a little hanky.
Oh, whatever. Anyways. Amberly, thanks for hanging out with us. We have lots of parties to go to, so I don't want to hold us up anymore. Is there anything else that you want to share before we wrap it up?
Oh, man. I think the biggest thing I would even share is that I'm thankful when I get to come and share my story. So it's awesome to be able to be here at this event and in a room full of people who are constantly continuing to improve themselves. And so that's fun to get to come and share my story here. And thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. It is cool to have to see an audience full of ladies that in the trades, which is not normal. Normally, if you're working with the trades, it's an audience full of men. And to have that gathering has grows every year, and it's really cool. And shout out to the ladies who are in charge of women in HVACR. So,
absolutely. No, this is great. I think this is the biggest event they've ever had. Mm-hmm. So, and it grew another 100, 150 people from last year. Mm-hmm. And it continues to grow, and the membership keeps growing, and it allows opportunities for ladies, and they come see an inspiration. And then, obviously, keynote speakers and inspirations for them to look forward to. Because a lot of times, there's a lot of men with stories and things like that that get shared, and they get the ones to be on stage. And we had Mary Kelly this morning came in here. She had a phenomenal story as well. So it's neat for... You know, especially like a children's book, mm-hmm. little girls can see that and be like, well, if she can do that, I can do anything. I can do this. I can, you know, so they something to look forward to in life and not always have their circumstances keep them down.
Thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
Cool. We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.